klezmer means, in fact, a professional instrumentalist, somebody who played a violin, a clarinet, a trumpet, a drum, something like that, and they played in bands called kapelias, and they traveled around from little town or shtetl to shtetl back in the old country, playing for weddings and parties, bar mitzvahs and things like that.
It was in the old country and, of course, in the United States as well.
That's correct. Many Jews escaped the Holocaust by moving over to the United States, and they brought with them their music. And just like all immigrants, they were eager to assimilate, and they wanted to learn what were the popular forms of music. So the jazz element and many elements of popular music made their way into their old style way of playing and the types of melodies that they played.
Speaking with Judith Eisner of Eisner's Klezmorum. And Judith, a lot of klezmer music is lively, but there is sadness that runs through it as well.
Yes, that's a very interesting observation. Many people, when they first hear klezmer music, they're struck by that. And they think, well, it's so sad. How could this be used for parties? Well, the fact is that these pieces are based on synagogue modes. And so if you hear a cantor singing, they will sing in certain modes. And each mode has a certain kind of quality about it. But the reason they sound sort of melancholy is because practically all klezmer music was written for the wedding, the Jewish wedding. And when you think about what a wedding was back in the old days, it had elements of sadness as well as joy. And part of the sad part of the wedding was that a young person, particularly the bride, was being married off at a very young age to somebody that she didn't know. And these were set up marriages, and she was going to be taken away from her family and her village and go off to live with strangers. And she was very scared about this. And also, the Jews during this time before the First and Second World War lived in a lot of danger. There was pogroms and a lot of attacks on them, and they lived precarious lives, and that this to them was very sad. They also were bound together by a history of a lot of persecution. So that all got woven into the music and the sound of the music, and it changes rapidly, just like our emotions change. We could be sad one minute, and then that emotion passes through us, and then we're happy again, and back and forth. I sometimes think of it like looking up into the sky and seeing a black cloud come, and then 2 minutes later the cloud blows away and out comes the sun. That's very much like klezmer music.
Would you say that's true of Freitag Nocht Zimis?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm. But you can be the judge when you hear it.
Programs that relate to to the Jewish holidays really has wider significance.
Yes, that's absolutely true, because I meet so many people who come to our programs and they say, well, we eat a certain dish at a particular holiday, and that reminds me of Tzimis, or that reminds me of a Blintz, or it reminds me of a Hamantash, and we have these same little pastries and treats, but there's a slight difference to them. And yet, each holiday, I would say, has its own particular customs. It's food, it's music, it's stories, it's relation to a change of season or a historical event, and every culture has that. So I ask myself and I ask the audience, especially if they're an audience of, say, elderly people like myself, what are those customs that it's my responsibility to preserve so they don't get lost, to be passed on to my children and my grandchildren, so that we never forget how delicious a Hamantaschen is, or a bagel with lox and cream cheese.
And of course, music is important to celebrating any holiday.
Practically every Jewish holiday, there would be some dancing and some real high-spirited kind of celebration. The Podotzertanz was a chassidel, and a chassidel comes from the word chassid, or the very pious Jews who believed that music and dance was more important than sitting around and studying holy books and praying, that it was a way to reach the higher powers by getting up and dancing and being joyous.
Judith Eisner leads Eisner's Klezmorum into the Wentworth Library in West St. Paul, Tuesday, May 7th at 1 p.m. For information, it's Eisner's Klezmorum, spelled KLEZMORIM.com. This program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Phil Nussbaum speaking.